you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and get the gears turning within our own heads so we can go out and create a conversation with friends, family, the person we meet on the street, or maybe we just find a rabbit hole and see where that one takes us. See, the Olympics are coming up. You're going to watch that end of June. End of June, I believe, is when they're showing back up. This postponement from coronavirus is going to take place in Tokyo. It's supposed to take place in 2020. Now they're going to be in 2021. And then the flip side of the games, I guess that'll be the Winter Games, will take place in 2022. So that's okay. We can have a little bit of an off year. We've had an off year. We'll catch our step. We'll get right back into the swing of things before we know it. The Olympics, where do they start? Where do they come from? The Olympics were started back in 776 BC as a point in time to pay tribute to Zeus, show the extremes and strengths of man. Originally started off with just a run, like a 600-yard dash or something like that. And it grew in popularity, grew and grew and grew, until all of Greece really started taking part in it, the extremes of the Greek Empire. And at points during when the games were being held, there was a ceasefire that was going on. No weapons allowed within the greater general area of where the games were to take place. Very sportsmanlike, sportsmanship-like. Everybody's there just for the sport, just for the ceremony to celebrate Zeus. And the games continued on until 80 BCE. And Sulla moved the Olympic Games to Rome, taking them outside of Greece proper. And they continued on even further from there, even outside the original place. But the Roman Emperor Theodosius decided that all cult practices need to be discontinued, which included the Olympic Games. And they stopped in 393 AD. I guess that makes sense when Rome, I'm sure at that point, had been overtaken by a strictly Catholic state. But then come 1890 AD, a young Frenchman, excuse me for butchering his name, Pierre Baron de Coubertin, originally Pierre de Freddy, decided to bring back the Olympic Games, bring them onto a world stage, bring everybody together to compete on a friendly turf, more or less, on a grand scale, show off everybody's athletic abilities, general sportsmanship. I mean, we've all got the FIFA World Cup, and we've got the NBA All-Stars and Super Bowl and the All-American World Series. But again, a point for athletes to show their extreme skill, the best of the best. Again, on a world stage, in friendly competition. No one's there to push a political agenda. It's all, again, there for just the sportsmanship of it. Now, in both versions of the Olympics, both the times originating in Greece through the Roman times and now here into present-day times, the reward for the Olympians, these incredible athletes, is not just a gold medal. It's fame, it's fortune, it's that ability to advertise your name as someone who has trained their entire life, who knows all the tips and tricks to push the boundaries of the human limits. And you might even get a Wheaties box promotion. People still eating Wheaties nowadays. But that was the level of things. You were an extreme athlete. You were the best of the best of the best. Put your name out there. And when you go, whenever an Olympian goes to the games, no matter what country you're from, your home team, your home country is rooting for you. We all want, I want America to win. I'm sure Canadians want Canadians to win, and Russians want Russians to win, and so on and so forth. There's even families that'll sit down and watch the sports together, the games together. It offers a unique point of inspiration for kids and looking at how that they're able to apply themselves. And sure, we may sweeten the pot a little bit and say you could be an Olympian, but definitely push them towards that goal of striving to be the extreme best. And we know that kids are impressionable through sports. It takes a little bit of an opposite turn, but baseball got in trouble for, I don't know necessarily in trouble, but they got a lot of pushback about how much they were chewing and spitting on the baseball mound, out in the field. I mean, big league chew became a thing for a reason. But all these kids were watching baseballers chew, and chewing tobacco became quite the thing amongst young sports participants. But we know we want these Olympians to have a positive message. They know they have the world's ear. Allison Felix, an Olympian who won 14 medals, wrote a New York Times opinion piece pushing for family medical leave to help raise children. And she goes through her struggle saying that, you know, she can do it. She did it with the limited things that she had going for her. And there's people even out there with more limitations than her. And that we need to push for more family medical leave. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that sounds fantastic. That sounds like a good idea. A highly decorated athlete, 14 medals, not all gold, but when you're competing at that level, any medal is one heck of an achievement. But what if these Olympians decide that they want to take that podium, they want to take that moment of fame, that period of recognition of who they are, either pre or post event, to make a statement? What if they want to raise their fist or take a knee for something that they feel is a problem with their home country, within their hometown, something that needs light brought to it? When we look at them as role models, on some level, we want someone to speak up. But in terms of sports, in terms of, well, we can't really call it gentlemanly conduct anymore, can we? But I think we understand the sentiment. We feel that politics should be put aside. We've seen throughout this year the dips, at least those of us who have heard the numbers. I haven't even seen the numbers, but heard the numbers about the reduction in all major league sports after they started adopting logos, political based, the things that people felt were politically based. The USOPC, US Olympic and Paralympic Trials Participant Rules about demonstrations was released at the beginning of April, saying that they wouldn't punish their teams. They believe Team USA has the right to voice their opinions, take a knee, wear a mask that says Black Lives Matter, raise a fist. They said that Team USA would not punish its individuals for taking a political stance. Now, these rules, according to Section 3 of this PDF, only apply to U.S. trial venues. Anywhere else, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has jurisdiction. And so if we're on United States turf, fair enough. I may not agree with your statement when you take a knee during a football game or a soccer game here on United States soil. I may agree. Either way, I believe that you have that right to make your opinion heard. But when you're on the world stage, when you have the world's eyes and ears, and especially within that competition to show off, to represent not only yourself as a fantastic individual of physical prowess, but you represent me and everyone else here, at least in the United States, or you represent everyone else from your home country. Everybody wants to be proud. I don't want other countries looking at our country as more of a mess than they already see it is. I mean, social media and international news are such a thing that no one can get away from anything nowadays. The publicity will be there. If you really so much as want to make that statement, that feeling that there's some sort of systemic racism within every last faction of this country, you can make that statement. You make that statement after you've stepped down out of the Olympic Games. Keep the sport a sport. It's not politics. Politics isn't supposed to invade every last aspect of life. I believe that we're supposed to pay attention to politics, but it's not supposed to overwhelm us. But if there's an Olympian, if you're listening to me, if you feel that you need to protest, you need to make your voice heard, you want to kneel, but you can't kneel because Tokyo has said they will enforce the no politics rule, no protests, no calling out of systemic racism. I'm sure they won't be able to ban face masks that say certain things, but no fists, no kneeling. Tokyo wants to keep it as apolitical as possible. When you go there and as an Olympian, you decide to kneel, you can face that penalty. I don't believe they'll remove your medal, but they may fine you. They may not invite you. They may not offer specific endorsements. But as an Olympian, if you feel there's systemic racism, you can boycott the Olympics and make your voice heard that way. Social media is pretty powerful, we've seen, haven't we? And if you can get a collection of people, a collection of fellow Olympians who are willing to throw their dreams aside to make a bigger statement, even more power to you. Back in 1980, Jimmy Carter boycotted the Olympics. He didn't allow the United States to participate because Russia had invaded Afghanistan. And Jimmy Carter wanted to make a statement that he would not be participating if those people were allowed. Jimmy Carter got Britain and Australia to not participate as well. And if the Olympians did decide to try and go, that they would have their passports revoked. Now, granted, that is on a national overwhelming level. It's a flipping of the scales, but the point was made. Very political. But we've come a long way. I mean, even North Korea was invited to the Olympics not too long ago. They've got some atrocities going on. We still allow China and whatever potential situation with the Uyghurs they got going on over there. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe it's all a rumor. But they're still going. No one's taking a knee for them. But our American athletes, the ones ingrained with freedom of speech, those of us who don't know how good we actually have it in comparison to the rest of the world, we want to go out and claim that our home is filthy, a disaster. For those that think like that, even if you don't take a knee on the podium, even if you don't make a hate-filled speech when the cameras come and talk to you immediately after the games, or even afterwards when you get your Wheaties box deal, how much do those words affect your post-career, your post-Olympic medal career? How many endorsements do you continue to get? Will you still be able to train people? Will people come to you when you say that this country is broken and as you attempt to participate in the capitalistic system, your product does not offer a stellar result, stellar mindset, so people go with the person that earned the silver instead of the gold because there's a different mindset towards the community? I didn't look him up, but Matt Phelps, the swimmer, the fantastic swimmer, how fast did he go from hero to zero? Just from smoking pot, something that some group of people didn't appreciate. Now you have a chance with either message as an Olympian when you are off of the world stage to make an impact. There's people on both sides of the respective aisle that would be more than happy to promote your message. You've got a face. You're a winner. You're an achiever. You made a splash on the world stage as an Olympian, someone with fame, now fortune, and the ability to teach and train the next great athletes of the world, a chance to offer inspiration to the youth, not through chewing tobacco, but through either positive or negative messages. And as we continue on this rocky path here in America, we're going to have to find some sort of balance, some sort of way to mediate all our pain, not air all of our dirty laundry, set the family matters aside so we can all root for the home team and participate as a group. Get the collective consciousness flowing endorsing one another so we can all win the gold, so we can all be proud of our friends and family. And hopefully that was enough for you. Hopefully that got your gears turning, gave you that spark of an idea, something to think about. And if it was, you can say thank you. If it wasn't, you can let me know as well. I'm Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N. The number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab at Billy Bones. You find me on No Agenda Social or the Mastodon Fediverse at Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. Send me short little quips and one-liners there. Say thanks or hello. Or go pound sand. But if you need to get in longer form contact with me, go to the website, billybones.com. Spelled the same way with the number 3 instead of an E. There's a link to Discord. There's a link to email. Write out whole diatribes. But also on the website, there is links to all the past episodes. There's links to the show notes I used for this episode and all the previous ones. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or any of the previous ones, the first thing I ask is that you give the show a share. If you found that this show was worth anything, time, talent, treasure, give it a share. But if you found it worth monetary value, you're welcome to chip in. You're welcome to donate as well. Again, you go to billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click that value for value button, and it'll take you to PayPal. You chip in. Cup of coffee, video game, a movie, brand new car? Probably not. But thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.